This past week, I'm not sure what brought this to my mind, but most of you know that when I was growing up, I was in athletics. Well, there's a precious memory that I have of my daddy. You know, maybe it was because Thanksgiving and my sons were over, but for some reason my head went to this image. And when I was growing up in high school and playing ball in college, I never was on a really good team. You know, it may have been my fault as a quarterback, but, you know, we won't go there. But anyway, never was really on that great a team. And in high school, in Orangeburg, South Carolina, the image that I remember of my dad, he's always in the stands. He's always present. And if it really got bad, you know what my daddy would do? My daddy would leave his seat, and he'd come and he'd stand by the fence. You know, just you know, a few yards behind the bench. And I'd come off the field, and I'd always see my daddy right there. You know, and he'd just look at me, and I'd look at him, and, you know, it wasn't what he said. It was just in our look, and I knew that he was right there with me. He was supporting me. He was pulling for me. And it didn't really make any difference how many interceptions I threw. It didn't really make any difference how many times I dropped the ball or stumbled. It just really didn't matter because my daddy was on that fence, and I knew he was right there. Right there. And then I had that image, and you know the next one I had? I'm in lacrosse stands watching my sons play lacrosse. And I remember looking over and seeing a woman reading a book. We say, well, maybe, you know, her son wasn't playing, Pastor Kip. You know what? If your son is on a field, how could you read a book? It doesn't matter whether they're playing or not. How could you be so disinterested in what is going on, in the struggle they're dealing with? How could you be so... to read a... is that what God does in your life? Is that His response to your turning to Him? Is He like the woman standing in the stands who reads a book with disinterest? Is that who God is to you? See, because if that's who God is to you, I can preach all day long about how we are to respond to God. How God wants to take our hearts that are hardened. He wants to take our lives. He wants to remake them. He wants us to have a passion for Him. He wants to have us a love for Him. I can talk about that all day long until... from sunrise to sun up, but until you come to a place where you realize that He is not disinterested. He's not the God standing in sitting on the stands reading a book. You'll not come to Jesus. You know the evidence that the Bible gives us that God is not in the stands reading a book? Think about it. God could have done it this way. He could have sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, take the sins of humanity and put them on the back of Jesus, and say, by my Son's death, I have taken their consequence upon Him, and now if they place their faith in Him, they have forgiveness. God could have done it so that it ended right there. But He didn't. See, God did something else. The Holy Spirit is the evidence that your life matters to God, how you live it. Whether your heart is hard, whether your heart is cold, whether your heart is filled with love for Christ, whether or not your heart is more filled with what you're going to do this next week, the Holy Spirit is the tangible expression that God is not going to leave us the way He found us. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift from God who comes to live inside of us and remake us into Jesus Christ to be more like Jesus Christ. God is very interested in us. The Holy Spirit is the evidence. Let me show you. The 16th verse of the 14th chapter. Listen to what God says. In other words, why should we be revived? Why should we care about our spiritual health? Why should we see our own spiritual health? Why should we see that as something that we should be responsible for? Before I read, let me give you one illustration. One more illustration. I told this to the 8 o'clock service last week. If you were there, you get to hear it twice. On Wednesday afternoons, before the Wednesday night prayer and supper and so forth, a lot of times what I will do is I'll go out on the front lawn and I'll play football with a couple of our youth. Well, a few weeks back, that's what I did. And there was a little boy who will remain nameless because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but he was out there playing with us, and then there was a youth that was out there. And we were tossing the ball around, and so the youth tossed the ball to the little boy. Okay, here's what happens. And you know, he's a good ways back. He just tossed it. Didn't throw it hard, he just tossed it up in there. Here's what the little boy does. And what do you think happens? Right on the nose. He just falls to the ground. Doesn't cry. He just falls to the ground. We run over and I say, "You okay? You okay?" "I'm okay. Oh, my nose hurts." You know, doesn't cry. And I just say, "Oh, way to go. Don't cry. You know, put some dirt on it. Rub it off. It's okay. It's all right." And so he got through that and later on, I start talking to him. I said, "What happened when that ball hit you in the nose?" He said, "Oh, I just hurt." I said, "Well, did you feel any anger?" He said, "Yeah, because so-and-so threw the ball and he hit me in the nose." I said, "Wait a minute now." Whose responsibility is it to make sure the ball doesn't hit you in the nose? I said, if Pastor Kip threw the ball to you and it hits your nose, it's not Pastor Kip's responsibility to make sure it doesn't hit you in the nose. See, your nose is your responsibility. And so, if the ball comes to you, you have to put your hands in front of your face and make sure the ball doesn't hit you in the face. You understand? He nodded his head. You're thinking, what's that got to do with this sermon? Your spiritual health is your responsibility. Life is just like that football. You know? Whoosh, okay. Life can smash us in the face. Jesus Christ, your heart is your responsibility, not my responsibility. My responsibility is to teach you. But you have to care about your own spiritual health. If God didn't want it to be that way, here's what He would have done. He would have given the Holy Spirit to all the preachers, but none to anybody else. You understand that? See, if your spiritual health was my responsibility, He would have given me the Holy Spirit, but not you. He would have still died on the cross for your sins. He would have still said, "You are saved by grace through your faith." He would have said that. And then He would have said, "Now, all the preachers, I'm going to give them the Holy Spirit, and they're going to speak. And now, the people's spiritual health is the responsibility of the preachers." It's not what He did. The Bible says He put the Holy Spirit in your heart. Because only you can desire to know God. This morning, if you don't wish to know God, if you don't wish to grow, hey, that's between you and God. And no one can do anything about that but you. Here's what he says. Jesus has just told his disciples that he's leaving. He's going, he's leaving. And it's the first time it seems as if they have finally gotten the fact that he's leaving. The 16th verse, he says this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Forever. How long is forever? What do you mean? How long is forever? I mean, he says he gives the Holy Spirit to us to be with us forever. What does that mean relative to death? That means that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God says he's going to put the, I'm going to read this in a minute, God's going to put the Holy Spirit in your heart. But it is not, the Holy Spirit is not present just for your life on earth. God's plan is that the Holy Spirit is with you forever. Forever means that eternity matters to God because you matter to God. We matter to God. And because we matter, God has said, I will give you my Spirit forever. He also says, you know, I don't know about you. Think about marriage. You know, in a marriage, we have vows and it says for better or worse, rich or poor, life or death, you are my mate. That is a forever covenant. God says there is a forever covenant that I make with you relative to my Spirit. I am the lover of your soul. Think about that. God says, I'm the lover of you. You know why I say he's the lover of your soul? Because that's the only thing that lasts forever. God desires a relationship with you on the deepest level that humanity can have a relationship, the relationship of the soul. He says, I will ask the Father, he will give you, that's a gift. You know, gifts have to be received. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Notice what he says about who's going to receive this gift. It's a gift from God. Jesus has requested it. And here's what's going to happen. You matter so much to God. I matter so much to God. Your spiritual health, your growing in Christ matters so much to God that the only people who are going to receive the Holy Spirit are those who have placed their faith in Jesus. It says the world cannot receive that gift because it cannot behold him. It cannot know him. What does it mean when he says the world cannot know, cannot behold the Holy Spirit of God? I'll tell you what it's saying. He says the world's not looking. The reason why the world can't know him is because it's not looking for him. It's not looking for him. So if you're not looking for him, what he says is you're not going to know him. Apply that on a spiritual perspective to believers in Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Jesus? What in your life would say, hey, I'm looking for Jesus? Or what I'm doing is I've given in to the flesh. I've given in to that part of me that I don't want us and I don't feel like it. You relate to the I don't want us, I don't feel like it. Or daddy doesn't know best. You relate to that, see? The unbelieving world, he says, will not receive the Holy Spirit because they're not looking for him. And if you're not looking for him, how are you going to recognize him when he shows? You see? And so the Holy Spirit, you are unique. Believers in Jesus Christ are unique in all creation because We have the Holy Spirit. That opening verse says, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and He will send you another helper. Suppose I asked Ernie to help me with something. Suppose I asked Ernie, I said, Ernie, I need another podium up here. Well, Ernie, you know, he's got a few choices. He can bring me one like this. Okay. He can bring me one like that. He can bring me one like this one is actually a little bit different. You probably can't tell from where you are, but it is actually a little bit different than this one. Or suppose Ernie thought I meant bring me one like this. How would he know which one I was asking for when I say, Ernie, bring me another podium? Well, I'll tell you how in the Bible we know what he's saying. The Bible says, Jesus says, that Greek word, when he says, I will ask the Father, he will bring you another helper. That word another, in the Greek there are two words that could be used to translate another. One means another of like kind, and another means, the other word means another of different kind. Here's what Jesus is saying. I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper just like me. The helper, Holy Spirit, is identical with Jesus Christ. He is a like-me helper. Now, what should that mean to you and what should that mean to me? Jesus Christ died on a cross for us because we matter to Him and because His Father said, this is the plan. The Holy Spirit has the same compassion for us that Jesus had. He is another helper, just like Him, just like Christ. Now, should that matter? Because He lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in me. And so what that says is Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit is going to fight for you spiritually. He's going to fight for you spiritually. Now, He's not in the stands reading a book. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit, you know, when you're out there on the field and life knocks you down, if you'll let Him, He'll pick you up. He'll give you understanding as to what do I do when life knocks me over. He'll come to meet you in a way that you've not been met before. Because you see, He's another helper like Christ. We get all confused and we think this life is all about the here and now. It's not all about the here and now. This life, as Rick Warren said, this life just prepares us for the next. And this text would tell us the same thing. He's another helper just like Jesus Christ. And that word helper, stay with me, we're going to finish up just one second. You know what's amazing to me? Do you know that the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, He said in the 15th chapter, the 7th verse, you know what He said? Jesus said this to the disciples. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. You realize that? Jesus says, you are better off with the Holy Spirit than me. I've got to die. Until I die, the Holy Spirit can't come. Do you realize then who is within you now? The person of the Holy Spirit is living within you. He only is in there because Christ has died. That's the cost that God endured in order for you to have the Holy Spirit. He is a helper. Here's what that word means. Here's what the helper was, a legal term that was used in a court of law for the person who stood alongside the one that was accused. Okay, you got that? He was the person, the legal representative. The word is parakletos. It means the one who is standing right beside me to plead my case. The helper is that one. Parakletos. What does that mean to you? He's your advocate. when you don't feel like reaching for Jesus, when you don't feel like spending time with Christ, when you woke up this morning and didn't want to come to church, those of you who had that occur, and there was a voice in your head, you know who that was? That was the Holy Spirit. Because you matter to God. I matter to God. That's what God's doing. That's what He's saying. If you can look at Galatians 5, 16 and 17 later, and here's what it says. It says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, sets His mind, sets Himself against the flesh, so that you will not do the things that you please. That He's the advocate, and you know who He's an advocate first for? He's an advocate for you. He's an advocate to try to plead with you to go the way of God and not to go the way of yourself. He's an advocate against the adversary Satan. Here's what He says. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The Holy Spirit did not come so God could sit in the stands in your life. He is a tangible expression of a personal relationship that God wants with you, a relationship that is described by love. I obey God because I love Him. He lives inside of me. He abides in me. Verse 21, this is where we close. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. See, what he's saying is the motivation for change in an individual's life must be the love of God. It's not because I plead with you. Not because a parent pleads with you. A boss pleads with you. The motivation for change in a life is because of what God has done for us. It's the cross. The cross of Jesus. What Christ has done for me. Until it resonates with me doing the things that God, that please God. Caring about the things that God cares about. Loving the things that God loves. Standing up in a crowd for no other reason than my Christ hung on a cross for me. So, that means I can't follow the crowd. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want a relationship with a God that doesn't matter. Give me a relationship with a God who has given His all for me, who loves me to the death. That's a God that changes a heart. Okay, Jesus. And then He comes to you. See, here's the thing. It's not about working harder. It's turning to Jesus. And He finds you. changes your life because you're loving Him and obeying Him. And now what God does is He discloses more of Himself. It's like that what God does is He makes an investment on the cross. He makes an investment in the Holy Spirit in your life. And now what you do is you respond to what God has done. You don't have to care. Whatever you wish, see? I'm going to get on my tiptoes to find Jesus to the ground. He gives you more of His Spirit. I'm going to stand again. He gives you more. Begin to soften that old heart. Change you. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, whose love is so complete that He gives me of His own person through the Holy Spirit the energy, the spiritual energy to change me and make me like my Savior. Yet the one who says, "Do you wish to get well?" Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would wish to get well. Like blind Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus says, "I want to regain my sight." Oh, Christ, may we want to regain our sight. God, I pray for the young person in this room right now whose heart You have just touched, who is on that fence right now, oh Lord Jesus, can't quite decide whether or not to come after You with abandon or yield to a life just like yesterday. I pray for him right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask Your Holy Spirit to reach his heart. Claim him as Your own, O precious Jesus. Loose Your Spirit now. I pray for the child whose tender heart wants Jesus. I pray for the adult, the senior, who just can't quite reach out, afraid. Jesus, You said, Your word is like the seed tossed into the soil. I pray that the soil of our hearts would be soft to receive the word, that it would change us. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you want God to find you this morning, here's what you do. When we start singing, you come to the front and you just say, "I want to find Jesus." I'll help you the rest of the way. Deacon beside me will help you the rest of the way. Holy Spirit, have the way of God today. Take this people. Bless us in Your name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Our musicians will come forward. Would you stand now? And as God is leading you, will you move your way to the front? Let's stand as Sherry leads us in singing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by
praying down front, and I'm going to ask that we sing one more song and allow them to just continue to pray. But as God is leading you, we're here to receive you. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We honor your good name. You are precious. I thank you for the love of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. I thank you for the literal and tangible presence of God in our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit. Loose your spirit, O God. Bless us in Christ. And we will give you praise. In the wonderful, marvelous, glorious, perfect, holy, just name of Jesus, this prayer is offered. Amen. Hallelujah.